Ever found yourself repeating the same self-defeating patterns despite promising yourself never again? You're not alone. Schema Therapy, the groundbreaking approach developed by Jeffrey Young and colleagues, has transformed how therapists understand and treat these persistent patterns. Since its introduction in the 1990s, this approach has gained remarkable traction, with Oprah Winfrey featuring it as a transformative healing method, and celebrities like Selena Gomez crediting schema-based work for helping them overcome childhood trauma. Beyond Hollywood, schema therapy has revolutionized treatment for previously untreatable conditions like borderline personality disorder, with research showing recovery rates nearly double those of traditional approaches. What makes this therapy so powerful is its compassionate recognition that even our most frustrating behaviors began as attempts to survive difficult childhood circumstances. And with the right guidance, we can finally break free from these patterns. At the heart of schema therapy lies a profound recognition. We all share fundamental emotional needs that must be met for psychological health. These aren't luxuries, but necessities. Safety, stability, nurturance, acceptance, autonomy, competence, identity, freedom to express emotions, spontaneity, play, and realistic limits. When these needs go unmet in childhood, we develop maladaptive patterns that follow us into adulthood. Think about Sarah, whose emotionally distant parents prioritized achievement over affection. As an adult, she finds herself drawn to unavailable partners who recreate her childhood emotional deprivation. Or Michael, whose unpredictable, explosive father left him with a deep sense that relationships are fundamentally unsafe. Now, he keeps everyone at arm's length, convinced that vulnerability inevitably leads to pain. Schema therapy offers these individuals a compassionate perspective. They aren't needy in some pathological sense, they're simply human beings with unmet emotional requirements. This framework draws heavily from attachment theory, recognizing that secure bonds are essential throughout life. Unlike hierarchical models like Maslow's pyramid that prioritize certain needs over others, schema therapy sees all core emotional needs as vital, especially in adulthood. What makes this approach so powerful is its focus on meeting these needs now, even if they weren't fulfilled in childhood. The past cannot be changed, but with the right therapeutic approach, adults can learn to identify their unmet needs and find healthy ways to satisfy them. This perspective shifts the focus from blame to understanding, from shame to compassion, and from helplessness to agency. Early maladaptive schemas, the core concept of schema therapy, function like invisible maps guiding us through life, often leading us astray. These deep-seated patterns begin early in our development and repeat throughout our lives, comprising memories, emotions, cognitions, and bodily sensations about ourselves and our relationships. Consider James, who grew up with highly critical parents. Nothing he did ever seemed good enough. Now, as a successful attorney, he drives himself relentlessly, convinced that any mistake will expose him as fundamentally inadequate. His defectiveness schema, formed in childhood, continues to dictate his self-perception despite abundant evidence of his competence. These schemas emerge from four types of toxic childhood experiences. Some develop from needs going unmet, too little of a good thing, like emotional neglect or abandonment. Others stem from traumatization or direct harm, creating schemas of danger and mistrust. Paradoxically, overindulgence, too much of a good thing, can be equally damaging, undermining a child's development of autonomy or appropriate limits. Finally, children may selectively internalize or identify with parents' maladaptive patterns, adopting their fears, prejudices, or self-defeating behaviors. What makes schemas so persistent is their self-perpetuating nature. Once established, they fight for survival by creating cognitive consistency, drawing our attention to schema-confirming information while filtering out contradictory evidence. Even more insidiously, they lead us to recreate the very conditions that hurt us as children. A woman with an abandonment schema may unconsciously choose unreliable partners, fulfilling her expectation that people always leave. Though these patterns cause suffering, they feel strangely right because they're familiar, making them remarkably resistant to change. Understanding these schemas isn't just intellectually interesting, it's the first step toward freedom. When we recognize these patterns as learned responses rather than inevitable truths about ourselves or the world, we can begin the work of challenging and changing them. Schema therapy identifies 18 distinct schemas organized into 5 domains, each reflecting different types of unmet emotional needs. These domains provide a map for understanding how early experiences shape adult patterns of thinking, feeling, and behaving. The disconnection and rejection domain includes schemas related to violations of basic needs for security, safety, stability, nurturance, and acceptance. People with these schemas often grew up in detached, cold, rejecting, or abusive environments. The abandonment schema leaves people constantly anticipating that important others will leave them. Those with mistrust/abuse schemas expect others to hurt, humiliate, or take advantage of them. Emotional deprivation involves the expectation that one's emotional needs will never be adequately met by others. The defectiveness schema creates a profound sense of being fundamentally flawed and unlovable, while social isolation leaves people feeling fundamentally different and disconnected from others. The impaired autonomy and performance domain involves schemas that interfere with one's perceived ability to function independently. These typically develop in families that were overprotective, undermining, or failed to reinforce the child's confidence. The dependent schema creates a belief that one cannot handle responsibilities without significant help. Vulnerability to harm involves exaggerated fear that catastrophe is imminent. Enmeshment reflects excessive emotional involvement with others at the expense of developing an individual identity. The failure schema creates a belief that one has failed, will inevitably fail, or is fundamentally inadequate compared to peers. The impaired limits domain involves deficiencies in internal boundaries, responsibility, and long-term goals. These schemas typically develop in families characterized by permissiveness and lack of direction. Entitlement creates a belief that one is superior and not bound by the rules of reciprocity that guide normal social interaction. Insufficient self-control manifests as difficulty exercising self-restraint to achieve personal goals or contain emotional impulses. The other directedness domain involves an excessive focus on others' desires at the expense of one's own needs. These schemas typically emerge from conditional acceptance in childhood. Subjugation involves surrendering control to avoid anger or abandonment. Self-sacrifice creates a pattern of meeting others' needs while neglecting one's own. Approval-seeking places excessive emphasis on gaining recognition from others rather than developing an authentic sense of self. Finally, the overvigilance and inhibition domain involves excessive suppression of spontaneous feelings and rigid adherence to internalized rules. These schemas typically develop in grim, demanding environments where performance and duty predominated over pleasure. Negativity creates a pervasive focus on life's negative aspects. Emotional inhibition involves excessive restraint of spontaneous action or feeling. Unrelenting standards creates impossibly high internalized expectations, while punitiveness involves the belief that people should be harshly punished for mistakes. By identifying which schemas are most active in our lives, we gain invaluable insight into the specific wounds that need healing and the particular patterns that require change. When our schemas are triggered, when something happens that reminds us of painful childhood experiences, we instinctively respond with coping mechanisms. Schema therapy identifies 3 primary coping styles: surrender, avoidance, and overcompensation. These strategies initially develop to help us survive difficult childhood circumstances, but they often become problematic in adulthood. Schema surrender involves passively giving in to our schemas. Consider Pauline, who feels fundamentally defective. When she enters social situations, she becomes increasingly self-conscious, certain that others will discover her flaws. She doesn't fight this perception, but accepts it as reality, which paradoxically increases her discomfort and confirms her negative self-image. People who surrender often play passive, compliant, or dependent roles in relationships. This feels safer in the moment, but ultimately reinforces their schemas and increases their suffering. Avoidant coping involves evading people or situations that might trigger schemas. Clara exemplifies this approach. After burning out in law school, she settled for a tedious job for a decade, avoided romantic relationships, and maintained few friendships, all to prevent activating her defectiveness, failure, and overcompensation standard schemas. While this protected her from immediate pain, it severely limited her life. Avoidant responses are particularly difficult to change because they're self-reinforcing. The temporary relief from avoiding triggers rewards the very behavior that maintains the schema long-term. Overcompensation involves doing the opposite of what the schema dictates, fighting against it by behaving in seemingly contradictory ways. A neglected child might become extraordinarily charming to capture attention. A shame-filled child might drive themselves to succeed through overwork. Harry, a successful real estate agent, exemplifies this through his glamorous social life and emotional distance. Though outwardly confident, he's actually quite anxious about failing or being rejected, revealed in his excessive concern with appearance and periodic depression when things go poorly. His superior, arrogant stance attempts but ultimately fails to compensate for deeper feelings of loneliness. What makes these coping mechanisms so persistent is that they all provide short-term relief while creating long-term problems. Understanding our particular coping style is crucial because true healing requires not just addressing the underlying schemas, but also changing the habitual ways we respond when they're activated. One of schema therapy's most innovative concepts is that of modes, the different emotional states and coping reactions that become active at different times. Unlike schemas, which are stable traits, modes are transient states that can shift rapidly, especially in people with personality disorders. At any given moment, a person operates primarily in one mode, which functions as their working self-concept, driving how they perceive and respond to their environment. There are four main types of modes: child modes, maladaptive coping modes, dysfunctional parent modes, and the healthy adult mode. The vulnerable child mode represents our wounded core, the part that holds most schemas and experiences sadness, anxiety, helplessness, and vulnerability. Despite the painful emotions involved, accessing this mode is essential for healing, as it reveals unmet needs that must be addressed. Patients often resist this vulnerability, but therapists gently encourage them to experience rather than avoid these feelings. The angry child mode expresses uncontrolled anger or rage in response to unmet core needs, often disproportionate to triggering events. The impulsive child acts on immediate desires without considering consequences, finding it intolerable to wait or be denied. Both modes typically developed in families without consistent, appropriate boundaries. Maladaptive coping modes correspond to the coping styles mentioned earlier. The detached protector creates emotional numbness to avoid pain. The compliant surrenderer conforms to others' expectations at personal expense. The overcompensator fights against schemas through various behaviors like arrogance, control, or aggression. Internalized parent modes represent critical voices from childhood. The punitive parent berates and condemns, while the demanding parent imposes impossible standards. These modes stem from actual criticism or abuse by caregivers, and can be especially destructive, as seen in borderline personality disorder, where the punitive parent mode may provoke suicidal behavior. Finally, the healthy adult mode represents the capable, strong part that handles adult responsibilities and pursues healthy pleasures. The contented child mode emerges when core emotional needs are met, allowing feelings of peace, connection, spontaneity, and joy. While everyone transitions between modes, healthy individuals maintain a unified sense of self and shift gradually between modes. In contrast, those with personality disorders experience rapid, intense fluctuations between dissociated modes. Therapy aims to strengthen the healthy adult mode while healing child modes and diminishing the influence of maladaptive coping and dysfunctional parent modes. At the heart of schema therapy lies a powerful therapeutic approach called limited reparenting. This technique helps adults get emotional needs met that were unfulfilled in childhood by creating a therapeutic relationship where needs are recognized, validated, and, within appropriate boundaries, fulfilled. Imagine David, who grew up with a volatile, unpredictable mother and an absent father. As an adult, he struggles with trust and intimacy, expecting others to eventually hurt or abandon him. In schema therapy, his therapist provides what he never had as a child: consistent reliability, emotional attunement, and clear boundaries. When David tests these boundaries by arriving late or canceling appointments, his therapist responds not with punishment or rejection, but with firm, caring limits. This experience gradually teaches David that relationships can be both safe and predictable. The specific needs addressed depend on the patient's active schemas or modes. Someone with abandonment and mistrust schemas benefits from a therapist emphasizing constancy and reliability, while someone with unrelenting standards needs authentic praise and acceptance. Through this process, the therapist provides a partial antidote to unmet childhood needs. Effective limited reparenting requires remarkable flexibility, as the therapist continuously assesses and responds to the patient's changing needs, sometimes emphasizing trust and nurturance, other times independence or playfulness. Good schema therapists tolerate strong emotions, provide validation and warmth, and maintain appropriate boundaries while extending typical therapy boundaries through judicious self-disclosure, out-of-session contact, and genuine care. Through limited reparenting, the therapist initially serves as the healthy adult for the patient until they can gradually internalize this role themselves. When a patient's inner critic becomes overwhelming, the therapist intervenes, modeling a healthier, more compassionate response. Over time, patients learn to provide this nurturing for themselves. What makes limited reparenting so powerful is that it doesn't just address cognitive distortions, it provides corrective emotional experiences that reach the deeper, pre-verbal levels where many schemas first formed. By experiencing a relationship that directly contradicts their negative expectations, patients begin to revise their fundamental beliefs about themselves, others, and the world. Alongside limited reparenting, schema therapy employs a technique called empathic confrontation. This approach involves confronting patients about their maladaptive behaviors while maintaining genuine compassion and understanding for why these patterns developed. The approach only works when therapists can authentically empathize with patients' motivations while simultaneously highlighting how these behaviors are self-defeating. Consider Robert, who frequently argued with his boss due to childhood abuse experiences. His therapist empathized with his legitimate need to protect himself while showing how his aggressive responses were counterproductive. Using either schema language or mode language, the therapist helped Robert recognize how his past-rooted reactions prevented him from getting his actual needs met in current relationships. The schema therapy vocabulary provides morally neutral language to discuss these patterns, framing them as self-defeating rather than moral failings. This helps patients examine their behaviors without excessive shame or defensiveness. Confrontation can address behaviors occurring outside therapy or in the immediate therapeutic relationship, with in-session confrontation being particularly powerful as it demonstrates real-time obstacles to intimacy and need fulfillment. What makes empathic confrontation so effective is its balance between acceptance and change. The therapist fully acknowledges the origins and protective function of problematic behaviors while gently but persistently highlighting their current costs. This dual focus helps patients feel both understood and challenged to grow. For example, when Susan's perfectionism interfered with completing her novel, her therapist validated how these high standards once helped her gain her father's approval while showing how they now prevented her from finishing her work. This approach honored Susan's history while encouraging her to develop more flexible, self-compassionate standards. The goal isn't to eliminate all defenses, we all need protective mechanisms, but to develop more flexible, conscious choices about when and how to employ them. Through empathic confrontation, patients learn to recognize their patterns as they emerge and consider alternative responses that better serve their current needs and goals.
Schema therapy employs a rich toolbox of techniques to move from insight to actual change. These include cognitive, emotional, relational, and behavioral interventions, each addressing different aspects of schemas and modes. Cognitive techniques help patients develop reflective distance from triggering events and gather evidence challenging their schemas. Daily thought records help identify automatic schema-driven thoughts, while positive data logs actively collect evidence supporting healthier perspectives. Schema flashcards provide portable guidance for responding to triggers, reminding patients of evidence against their schemas and healthier alternative responses. However, cognitive understanding alone is often insufficient. Emotion-focused techniques access the nonverbal, affective components of schemas that may be pre-verbal in origin. Through role-playing and guided imagery, patients can actually feel rather than just intellectually questioning their schemas. In powerful imagery rescripting exercises, patients revisit painful childhood memories while the therapist enters the scene to provide the protective, validation, or nurturing that was missing. These experiences create profound emotional shifts that cognitive work alone cannot achieve. Behavioral pattern-breaking techniques focus on replacing schema-driven actions with healthier behaviors. The primary targets are coping behaviors that perpetuate schemas, such as choosing unavailable partners, clinging to or pushing away others, or avoiding intimacy. Patients identify problematic patterns, rehearse new behaviors through role play or guided imagery, and complete behavioral homework assignments with built-in rewards and accountability. Mode work integrates these approaches by having patients dialogue between different sides of themselves, switching chairs as they assume different modes, or using imagery to address specific modes. For example, a therapist might help a patient confront their punitive parent mode or nurture their vulnerable child mode through these techniques. What makes schema therapy so effective is this comprehensive approach that addresses schemas at multiple levels: cognitive, emotional, interpersonal, and behavioral. By working with both the content of schemas and the processes that maintain them, patients develop not just new insights, but new ways of feeling, relating, and behaving that transform their lives from the inside out. Schema therapy has gained particular recognition for its effectiveness with conditions traditionally considered difficult to treat, including personality disorders. Its integrative approach addresses the complex cognitive, emotional, relational, and behavioral patterns that characterize these conditions. For borderline personality disorder, BPD, schema therapy offers a framework that makes sense of the disorder's hallmark instability. BPD patients typically present with a detached protector mode that shields them from painful emotions, an abandoned/abused child mode containing memories of mistreatment, an angry/impulsive child mode, fighting back against invalidation, a harsh punitive parent mode, and a weakened healthy adult mode. Rather than expressing vulnerability directly, they often flip between these modes. Research strongly supports schema therapy's effectiveness for BPD. A major randomized control trial found schema therapy superior to transference-focused psychotherapy on all outcome measures, with higher recovery rates, 45.5% versus 23.8%, and significantly lower dropout rates, 25% versus 50%. Another study comparing treatment as usual with treatment as usual plus group schema therapy found dramatic improvements in the schema therapy group, with none meeting BPD criteria at follow-up versus 83% in the control group.
For narcissistic personality disorder, schema therapy addresses the overcompensatory self-aggrandizer mode that masks underlying defectiveness and emotional deprivation schemas. Treatment focuses on healing the lonely child through limited reparenting, confronting the self-aggrandizer to develop reciprocity in relationships, helping patients tolerate emotional pain without escaping into self-soothing behaviors, and challenging the demanding parent mode. Even antisocial personality disorder, including psychopathy, shows promising response to schema therapy. The approach identifies several overcompensatory modes in these patients, including the bully and attack mode, conning and manipulative mode, paranoid over-controller mode, and predator mode. A major clinical trial of schema therapy for forensic patients with antisocial personality disorder is showing promising early results. Schema therapy also provides a natural framework for addressing couples' distress by examining how partners' schemas, coping styles, and modes create cycles of mutual triggering. The goal parallels individual therapy, alleviating distress by meeting both partners' needs as a joint responsibility. What makes schema therapy particularly valuable for these challenging conditions is its combination of acceptance and change, its focus on emotional needs rather than just symptoms, and its comprehensive approach that addresses multiple levels of human functioning simultaneously. Schema therapy represents a profound integration of cognitive behavioral techniques with interpersonal, experiential, and psychodynamic therapies. Its compassionate yet practical approach recognizes that everyone has needs, schemas, coping styles, and modes. They're simply more pronounced and less flexible in those who struggle psychologically. The approach begins with the recognition that our most troubling patterns often began as attempts to survive difficult childhood circumstances. Rather than pathologizing these adaptations, schema therapy honors their protective origins while helping patients develop healthier alternatives that better serve their adult lives. Through limited reparenting and empathetic confrontation, patients experience both the acceptance and challenge necessary for genuine change. What makes schema therapy so powerful is its ability to address both acute symptoms and underlying patterns. It can be integrated with focused CBT interventions for specific disorders while addressing the broader personality patterns that often maintain these symptoms. This bridge between short-term interventions and longer-term therapy offers valuable flexibility for patients whose needs evolve during treatment. Perhaps most importantly, schema therapy offers hope for those who have struggled with long-standing patterns that have resisted previous treatment attempts. By addressing the deepest layers of emotional wounding while providing practical tools for change, it helps patients not just understand their patterns, but transform them. In this process, childhood wounds can ultimately become sources of wisdom, compassion, and strength as patients learn to meet their own needs and create relationships that nurture rather than reinforce their schemas. As we continue to understand the profound impact of early experiences on adult functioning, schema therapy stands as a testament to the possibility of healing at any age. The patterns established in childhood need not determine our destiny. With the right approach, even the most entrenched schemas can be modified, allowing us to create lives guided not by old wounds, but by present possibilities.